Good morning and welcome. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. It is also 6:08. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Bleepity bleep bleep bleeping bleep 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 bleep.
What'd you say?
No, that was a Hunter Biden interview.
Oh.
Did you catch any of it? Bleep, 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 bleep.
That's kind of what it sounded like, I think.
It was worse than a Tarantino movie.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's
more cussing per minute than even his most obnoxious films. Anyway, yeah, Hunter. Let me narrow it down. He cusses out, well, just about everybody.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. Also, the MLK files, 240,000 pages. My gosh.
That's a lot to go through.
It really is. I mean, think about it. You know, for the period that he was really being scrutinized, let's say, you know, when he really rose to prominence in the civil rights thing, to the time that he was murdered, that's a lot more than you could put in your own diary. 240,000 pages.
That's a lot of stuff.
It really is.
Yeah.
Will we learn anything new? I mean, we'll learn, I guess, if you want to go through all the pages, you probably learn a lot of things you didn't know, but, I mean, anything big? Yeah. Not so much. Which, unfortunately, the Tulsi Gabbard thing I got so excited about yesterday. I mean, I got excited because it was everything I thought was going on with Clapper and Brennan and Comey being the Three Stooge scumbags that they are. So it from that point, I'm like, yeah, well, I knew I was right, but it's nice to know that there's documentation to back it up.
And you got confirmed. You felt.
And look at Mark Levin and Breitbart. There were a lot of people that were on the same page on this thing. But it is kind of nice to say, okay, now, you know, now we've got some backup.
However,
are we going to see the perp walk? Are we going to see these people punished and penalized?
No.
That's the sad part.
No.
Will it ever happen? If it doesn't happen, expect more behavior similar to the stuff that's been recently uncovered.
Although I did see a great meme just this morning, and you know I love the memes.
Uh-huh.
Showed Obama. Hey, you can't get me on treason. I wasn't born here.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, that's good. That's
when
good.
Half of this stuff was going down, I was eating dog with my daddy in Kenya. Yeah.
Should have cooked it first.
Sushi poochie. I just thought that up.
That's I could tell, but I liked it. That was
wow.
good.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. It's Shacky Rose up here all week, everybody. Unless I have another heart attack and I fall out of this chair, which I'm not planning on.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Officials, listen to this. This is, wow. Officials from Florida.
Yeah.
It's our buddy, actually. The incoming CFO.
Oh, Blaze.
Blaze Ingolia.
Yeah, we like him.
We do like him. He's conservative. He's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, right, we just talked to him. He was just
last
started.
Week, yeah, like Friday.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't even know if he actually, sorted out his new desk.
Yeah.
Already, he's coming to Gainesville.
Ooh.
We are on his radar. We are on his radar. He loves him some Bob Rose and some Greg Cassidy. He does.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not coming for us, of course. But he could be, he got kind of the flavor of how it is around here.
Uh-huh.
So Blaze Ingolia, the CFO of the state of Florida, apparently is coming to visit Gainesville to do a little look-see on, data, physical properties. I just want to look around, see what's going on here.
Harvey. Harvey, come out. Harvey, come out and play.
Harvey's busy. Can't you hear the machinery? You hear that? You know what that is?
What is that?
Paper shredder.
Oh.
Paper shredder working on overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Mayor Harvey Ward received a letter, and says something along the lines of that Gainesville has increased the tax burden on property owners by more than $30 million over the last 4 years, and the CFO would just like to know what the heck you've done with it.
And now they're talking about, you know, 15% more.
Yep.
Get him, Blaze.
Yeah. Blaze going to light him up.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there.
He's going to smoke him out.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get to the heart of the matter, hopefully. So, yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I heard some people, maybe they're down there, City Hall, are sweating like tepid cheese right now. Shaking like a scared poodle in the corner about to wet itself.
There's a visual.
I paint pictures with words. I am a wordsmith.
Sounds kind of like one of Jake's little memes there.
Well, there you go.
I get to see that.
We are kindred spirits. I paint with words. He's a cartoonist.
You just wrote it for him right there. Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'd like to get some credit once in a while.
Yeah.
And I'd ask him to do a cartoon involving us, but we already look a bit cartoonish to begin with, so it's not going to go well. Yeah. So I will shut at pie hole now.
Yeah.
But good morning, everybody, and welcome. House Speaker Mike Johnson. A no vote releasing Epstein documents before recess. You remember that? When the bell would ring?
I love recess.
Like, recess, and you would run out those doors, and it didn't matter. I mean, I spent half of my childhood like in Michigan. Yep. It didn't matter. It could be freezing cold out there. Don't forget to put your coat on. The heck with that. We're out here. Rain or shine, man. Oh, recess. Yeah. Dude. I was like all American in recess. Really? I was like the recess master.
I believe that.
House Speaker Mike Johnson said there will be no vote on some documents related to the Epstein case before Congress takes a break for the August recess. Look, isn't it funny? What is it? Today's July 22nd. Let's start planning for recess. That's not going to be for another 8 days. Man, what a gig. No, I don't want it. Johnson made the announcement after the House Rules Committee advanced the measure last week, lower chamber, preparing for the big break. Johnson told reporters the House will not vote on the resolution. Here's what I'd say about the Epstein files. There is no daylight between the House Republicans, the House, and the president on maximum transparency. I can see right through it. And he said that he wants all the credible files related to Epstein to be released. There's your catchphrase, credible.
Credible.
You see, remember what I told you about, Comey and Brennan and Clapper, the Three Stooges? They could have put anything in those files when they were under their control. Yep. Anything in those Epstein files.
Or taken things out.
Both. Not saying it happened, but I would be shocked.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But then how are we going to know? 6:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Oh, and the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. And that way, you'll never miss a minute of the show. You just click on subscribe. There's no charge or anything. All right. A lot more to talk about coming up, including Rahm Emanuel. With his anti-Democrat statement, I'll explain coming up. It's going to be another awesome day, my friends. You know why? Because you're starting it off right with the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning. It is 6:22, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Hunter, cussing out almost everyone in a recent podcast. Now, and it was so many bleepity bleeps. I talked to some friends. They may or may not be connected with the Navajo Nation. And I said, is there any chance that Hunter could be talking in some kind of code, and they sped up the bleeps, and it sounded like this. That's Morse code. That's Morse code. And I had my friends, the code talkers.
Yeah.
And I said, what does it mean? What did he say? And they deciphered it slowly. They're like, help me. And I'm like, wow, Hunter needs help. And they go, no, it's not the whole message, because there was a lot of bleeps in there.
Yeah.
Help me find crack and hookers.
That's what he was saying.
That was his message overall.
That's why help me find crack and hookers. Yeah, that explains that now.
Okay, back a little closer to reality, although probably when we look deep enough, I'm probably right again.
I think you were right. There you go.
The White House called out Hunter Biden after he slammed the Trump administration's immigration policies in a recent web interview. Oh, he slammed the immigration policies? Huh. Now, what did he say? And, of course, I have to leave the bleeps in. Am I supposed to feel for someone? He says, am I going to be like all these Democrats say, hey, you have to talk about and realize that people are really upset about illegal immigration. Well, blank you. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you got food on your blanket table? Who do you think washes your dishes? Who do you think does your blanket garden? Who do you think is here? By the blanking sheer, blanking just grit. And, well, they figured out a way to get here because they thought they could give themselves and their family a better chance. Wow. That's pretty strong stuff.
He's a little wound up.
Yeah, he is.
For a guy who likes drugs.
Oh, yeah. Forget about any of them gang-related, drug-selling-related, rapist murders, etc. Forget about that. Forget about that. Forget about that border agent that was shot in the face by two criminal illegal aliens that Joe Biden let in the country. But Hunter seems like he's more concerned about who's going to clean up his hotel room after his benders. Huh? Clean up that crack pipe. We don't need to leave any residue in there. Yeah. The administration has sent those who believe to be or known to be from designated foreign terrorist organizations like MS-13 to the prison in El Salvador. You know what he said about that? He said, oh, I would call up the president of El Salvador and say, hey, you better send all those blankety blank people back. Yeah, wow. Send them back.
Mm.
Because we have a shortage of workers.
Huh.
Needs those. This is just absolutely absurd. Oh, and another revelation from Wise One Hunter.
Oh, my.
Remember, his dad said he's the smartest, blanking guy that he knows. Remember that?
I do remember that.
It was Joe on Ambien when he was supposed to be debating?
Well,
here's how Hunter said it. He says, I know exactly what happened at the debate. He flew around the world, basically, and the mileage, he could have flown around the world three times. He's 81 years old. He's tired as blank.
Blank. Yeah, I figured that was coming.
They give him Ambien to be able to sleep. He gets up on the stage and he looks like a deer in the headlights. He did. He looked like he was on Ambien.
Whoa, wait a minute. You're going to have to help Joe Biden sleep? The king of naps? Seriously? Come on.
He can't just nod off on his own like he did during, numerous meetings.
Yeah, I think he can sleep just about any time he wants. Or doesn't.
Mm.
Yeah. That's my opinion, of course.
Yeah, and, when was the Ambien allegedly given to him? Was it given to him, 10 hours previous, 12 hours previous to the debate? Or did they purposefully give it to him in a much shorter time span, closer to the debate? I don't think that he gives us any detail on that. So I get it. Look, you're Joe's kid. You're defending your dad and his theoretical legacy. Okay. All right, for once he's being a good son.
Yeah.
But man, he was cussing everybody out. He's mad at the Democrats. He's mad at Republicans. Yep. This is another piece from it. The former first son, who was not given a sit-down media interview in years, told this Channel 5 video journalist Andrew Callaghan that the book revealing the White House's cover-up of his father's cognitive issues was a money grab. Oh, he attacked George Clooney. Did you see that? Oh, no, he went after him.
Wow.
Yeah, he started cussing George Clooney out.
Hmm.
And James Carville.
Yeah.
And David Plouffe and others. Help me! It's Hunter, help me! I need crack.
Oh, wow.
6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. More details and illuminations from the former first son. It's all coming your way. And it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. Come on, let's pump it up. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Searching for the truth. That's what we try to do, and we try to be truth tellers. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's also Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. I mean, nobody's going to out-talk trash like Hunter Biden.
Oh, no.
And we would play some clips, but it would just sound like bleepity bleep bleep bleep. And we've told you about some of the things that he says, including... Yeah, my dad was on Ambien. Of course, that's why he, you know, looked that way during the debate.
What about the rest of the days?
Nothing on that yet.
No? Okay.
No.
Falling off bicycle, falling in stage, falling upstairs.
I don't know. Couldn't you put that all in Ambien? If they're putting it in his orange juice.
Well, does it take that much every day?
I don't know.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
The American public.
Hey, kudos, Trump administration winning once again. You, a family person, you could be winning one big, beautiful bill. You know what's part of this that was recently signed into law by the president? It allows millions of babies born into the U.S. to receive $1,000 Trump account.
Nice.
Did you hear about this?
Yep. It's in there.
These accounts were created by the government for those under 18 years old, and they're designed to help young people start investing early. What? This is a phenomenal idea.
Really,
I'm not kidding.
It is.
This will afford a generation of children the chance to experience the miracle of compounded growth and set them on a course for prosperity from the very beginning. That coming from the White House. Children born between January 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2028 are eligible for a one-time $1,000 payment into their Trump accounts, courtesy of the federal government. And here's what else makes it great. Parents and relatives can contribute up to $5,000 each year into the account until the child turns 18.
Wow.
And after 2027, they may adjust that $5,000 figure upwardly, adjusting for inflation. Parents, employers can also contribute.
Oh, that's cool.
The child can access the money, which must be invested in low-cost stock mutual funds or exchange-traded funds like the S&P 500. They have access to it once they turn 18. Now, a Social Security number is required to open an account, and only one account can be opened per child. This initiative gets to the core of binding those future generations to the benefits and the potential of America's great companies and markets. That come from the Goldman Sachs CEO, David Solomon. Early childhood investments have far-reaching benefits. Goldman Sachs, proud to support the initiative. Our economy's future vitality is dependent on young people understanding the power of investing in the long term. I just think that is such a smart way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Although, let me see, children born between January 1st, 2025. And December 31st, 2028. I don't know if all of a sudden people are going to go, you know, let's have some kids. That way they start with some money in the bank. I don't know that that's going to occur, but I think the idea of investing like that and they can't touch it until they're 18, yeah. I just think, you know, you've got a stake in things, you know? It is an interesting thing. Think about it. If the kids grow up and go to some wacky, lefty, you know, liberal school, which I guess is about 95% of them, you know, and they try to tell them how evil capitalism, they can sit back there and go, really? Really, sucker? Because the capitalism and the investment that Trump started and my parents contributed to, my college is paid for.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
There you go. That's just, I don't know. I just think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of families, the family of a Long Island man who tragically died in a freak MRI-related accident is claiming that the technician is at fault for their loved one's death. When this tragedy first happened, I thought, wow, something really failed here. Something really failed. Something went wrong. Or maybe there's a little bit more to the story. Because MRIs have been around for a long time. I mean, I remember having my first MRI. We're going back over 30 years.
Right.
And, of course, it was around before that. But really, it became a fantastic, you know, diagnostic tool. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of places, you know, you know I advertise for Titan.
Right.
MRI, good people, Joe and the whole crew. But it's very safe. That's the whole idea is you're not going to, it's not an X-ray. You're not going to, you know, put your body through that. It's using magnetic resonance.
Plus the M in MRI.
Yeah. But I mean, it's been very clear from the very beginning how strict they are on, you know, the jewelry and stuff. Oh. They ask if you have any, you know, steel plates or any other things that could be an issue. They're very thorough in that. At least that's always been my experience. Now, the incident occurred at the NASA Open MRI in Westbury in, you know, New York area Wednesday afternoon, where Keith McAllister, 61, was pulled into the machine by the powerful magnetic force and remained stuck for nearly an hour before being freed. McAllister had accompanied his wife, Adrian Jones McAllister, who was undergoing a knee scan at the facility. According to their daughter, Samantha Bowden, the MRI technician left the room during the procedure to get McAllister, the husband, to assist his wife, but failed to warn him about the danger of wearing metal near the machine. Listen, I could be wrong on this, but I smell a scam, and here's why. And it's very interesting that the BBC reported this, even the New York Post reported it, but I can't see it in any of the current reports, so if it's true, it's a scamboni from the get-go. And that is, you ready for this?
Yep.
He had a chain on, right?
Yeah.
Did anybody tell you that the chain weighed 20 pounds?
What?
Not 20 grams, 20 pounds.
So this is not some subtle little chain under his shirt.
No, some people use it as kind of part of a weightlifting thing.
Wow.
20 pounds.
Wow.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
That's a little weird.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. It's another day in paradise. Why wouldn't it be great? Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Let's call it 6:50, 10 minutes until 7 o'clock. Pump it up. Trump administration releasing over 200,000 MLK Jr. assassination files. Apparently, this is 240,000 pages. Will we find out anything we don't already know? We'll see. Hard to get your hopes up on these kinds of things, but again, we'll see. House Speaker Mike Johnson says, look, Congress is, we're getting ready for a break. I mean, only Congress has to, you know, let you know 8 days ahead of time that they're preparing for a break. Okay.
But you got to work up to it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there's some filing to be done.
Oh, I'm sure.
Got to clean off their desks, whatever. Yeah. But he also mentioned, we're not going to really vote on it, releasing any Epstein documents before the recess. So, and again, what are the value of some of these documents if they've been under lock and key? Who has controlled the lock and key? The FBI? The head of the FBI? The head of the Department of Justice? Maybe somebody high up in, intelligence? Maybe the director of the CIA? So if a lot of documents have been through several administrations, how do we know that these files have been untouched, that they're clean, that their documents haven't been added to or subtracted from? Yeah, well, that's part of the problem.
They might have cleaned things up in a very Hillary-esque manner.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you knew there was some dirty stuff in there.
Sure.
And, you know, let's just say Obama's implicated in some of it. You don't think he's going to make a couple of phone calls?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you need to take care of this. Mm-hmm. You need to take care of this. Come on, give me a break. All right. Yeah, I wish we could go back to the, you know, leave it to Beaver and everything was nice.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's our government. There's money, there's agendas, and yeah, that's why it smells like a swamp.
Hey, quick sky traffic alert. Marion County, I-75 South. We are getting some rain right now in parts of Marion County. And I-75 South, around mile marker 360, had a vehicle crash. Left shoulder is blocked. But again, even though they're on the shoulder, just because of the weather conditions, a little harder to see. So if you're I-75 South approaching mile marker 360, scooch over. That's a technical term there, scooch.
Scooch. Yeah. Scooch it on over.
Give them some room.
Move it on over, Rova.
There you go.
Conservative pro-Trump law group America First Legal filed complaints Monday with the Tennessee Attorney General and Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, alleging Cracker Barrel is maintaining discriminatory employment practices stemming from its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, DEI.
Wow, really?
So Cracker Barrel apparently reacting very, very swiftly and very quickly, basically doing a 180 on this thing that, forget about all that diversity stuff. And in fact, they're even going to undergo a name change. It's simply, this was an exclamation point at the end. It's simply going to be called Cracker. Yeah. Okay, some of that story I may have taken a little artistic license with.
The very end, in particular. But the rest is true.
Yeah, there really is a lawsuit. Yep. They're really going after them on DEI policies. The complaints point to public documents, internal reports, Cracker Barrel's own language, to allege the company maintains illegal DEI frameworks, such as race and gender conscious hiring, leadership and promotion pipelines, which provide benefits to employees on the basis of protected characteristics. They also slammed Cracker Barrel for rebranding its dedicated DEI website to Culture and Belonging. That's the new code words.
Gotta watch for those.
Yeah, we're not going to change the program. We're not going to eliminate it.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to simply adjust the name accordingly. And then we'll keep doing what we're doing, which is illegal, which is wrong. And they're going to do it anyway. Yeah. Arguing that the name change did not halt Cracker Barrel from using diversity as a proxy for race or sex, as we know. And Americans are fed up with major American corporations serving up DEI as if it was entirely okay. You know what else is kind of ironic? At a time when they're releasing 240,000 pages related to Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, they have in place in many companies still DEI policies which go, 180 degrees, if you want to use that term, against what MLK Jr. was teaching.
How ironic.
Yes.
Yeah,
they
more
absolutely
ironic.
Want to judge you by the color of your skin.
Oh, no, Bob, it's just the culture in our company. The culture.
Yeah. You want culture? Give me a club.
Yep.
Thanks, Boy George. That one always comes in handy.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were going to go for cottage cheese or something.
Cottage cheese. Oh, culture there.
Uh-huh.
Probably would have used yogurt as a reference.
Yogurt really probably is more correct.
And it might be just because I don't really care for cottage cheese.
Me either, yeah.
It's kind of one of those things like, what good is it? Yeah. I'm not saying it's not good for you. I'm just saying, it's blah.
Yeah.
Kind of bland, and I'm not really all that crazy about the texture. Mm-hmm. I got no use for it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So, kind of caught you up on a lot of the things that are
that's a lot of stuff
going on. Hunter cussing everybody out.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't play any audio, but you couldn't. It'd be hard to make heads or tails of some of the, what he's trying to express, because he cusses literally so much in it. It is, it's crazy.
That's just one little sentence of the words that are bleeped out.
That's the bleeps. Yeah.
That's bad.
That's a lot of cussing.
It is.
There's a lot of sailors that are really upset right now.
Oh, they're probably embarrassed by him.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Like, come on, isn't that a little over the top, some of them said? And they were drunk at the time.
Well, probably Irish.
California Governor Gavin Newsom issued a demand Monday for the immediate withdrawal of all soldiers from Los Angeles.
Ooh.
After the Pentagon announced that the U.S. Marines would be pulling out of the city. Okay, so they're pulling out. What's he crying about?
Yeah.
The women and men of the California National Guard deserve more than to continue serving as puppets in Trump and Stephen Miller's performative political theater. There was never a need for the military to deploy against civilians in L.A. Okay, there was never a reason. If you said many demonstrations, especially over the last few years, have ended with looting, arson, gunfire, Molotov cocktails. We want to try to thwart that. We don't want to give that. This is as old as Andy Griffith and nip it in the bud, Andy. You got to nip it in the bud. And that's the proactive approach that they took. Peace through superior firepower, if you will. Gavin Newsom doesn't understand that. Plus, he's busy working with his hair product. Much more to come on 97.3 The Sky. Hang in there.